Carol service. Genesis 22, and we're reading from verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, saying thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham journeyed on unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. We're ending at verse 19. And as ever, we're looking to the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. My title this morning is Stressing the Blessing. Not that we're stressed, but rather emphasizing the blessing. We're taking that word stress and that meaning. We want to stress the blessing. Christmas 1911 would be General William Booth's final Christmas. He was asked to send a message to the Salvation Army troops to encourage them. And in those days, there was no WhatsApp, no text messages, and telegrams were pretty expensive. He began to write, and he looked at it, and he said, well, there's just too much. It's going to cost too much. And so he edited it and had started to write again. He had it down to a couple of sentences. He still wasn't happy that he was able to capture what he wanted to say to the troops at this particular time. And then he just come up with one word, and one word only. And he sent this one word as a telegram. As I say, this would be his final Christmas. One short word, just the word others. The word others. A number of years ago, we did a series in the church here on the one and others. And it's encouraging us not to be self-absorbed, not to be self-centered, not to be individualistic. It's encouraging us to think of other people. This is important. It's important in your marriage. If you're self-centered in your marriage, if you're self-obsessed, well, you're not going to have a very happy marriage. If you're self-obsessed as a Christian, well, you're not going to really shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're just all about me, and we're living in the me generation, if it's all about me, then you're not going to be much of a blessing here in Refrailen Baptist Church either. Remember, John 13 and 14 says we ought to wash one another's feet. Galatians 6 verse 2, we are to bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4 verse 2, we are to forbear one another in love. Ephesians 4 32, we are to be kind one to another, forgiving one another. Hebrews 10 25, we are to exhort or to encourage one another. James 5 verse 16, we are to pray for one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11, we are to edify one another. You put that into your marriage, and what a marriage you will have. Pray for one another. Edify one another. Encourage one another. And we, of course, could take them all. We are to love one another. And I want to think this morning about our responsibility to others. Are you a blessing this morning? Are you a blessing in the church? Are you a blessing in your home? Are you a blessing in the workplace? Because Joseph, as a man of God, because he was a man of God in the workplace, working with pagans, God blessed them, and he was a blessing to them. Are you a blessing at home? Are you a blessing in the church? Are you a blessing in the community? Are you a blessing in your family? Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. As Stephen said this morning to the boys and girls, we can all be obsessed. We want to be the striker. It's all about scoring the goals. It's all about getting the glory. It's all about getting the headlines. We need to think about others. You know, we sometimes send Christmas cards with Christmas blessings. Are you a Christmas blessing? Are you so wrapped up in yourself that you haven't sat down and thought about others, even at this season of the year? Paul says we are to esteem one another. That word is translated by the word higher in Romans 13, verse 1, by the word supreme in 1 Peter 2, verse 13, by the word excellency, Philippians 3, verse 8, by the word passeth all understanding. These are the same words. And so we are to think upon others as being more important, higher, supreme, excellent. They pass us. Is that how we really live this morning? How are we concerned with the spiritual well-being of other people? And I say this morning because when I come to Genesis chapter 22, we noticed the last time I was here, we had the title, Are You a Father Worth Following? And fathers, if you weren't here, I would encourage you to listen to the message. And we saw how Isaac went along with his dad. Remember, he was a young man. He was maybe 22 years of age. Some suggest even 30. He walked side by side with his father, and he climbed onto an altar, knowing he was going to die. He willingly went to that place, side by side with his dad. Do you know why? Because he looked up to his father, and he trusted him. And he wanted to walk in his steps. That's the kind of dad Abraham was. And in Genesis 18, God commends Abraham for the father he was. And we ask the question, are you a father worth following? I want to suggest here that Abraham was a blessing to Isaac. I know our series is on Isaac, but Isaac, as I said, is the middle prophet. And I sometimes talk about the middle patriarch syndrome, because even though he lived longer than anyone else, less is said about Isaac than his father or his son Jacob. But let's look at Genesis 22, verse 7. God said to Abraham that in blessing I will bless thee. And here, Abraham was going to be blessed. Luke translated like this, I will most abundantly bless thee. And of course, others are going to be blessed through Abraham. Of course, Isaac was blessed, but many others are going to be blessed through Abraham. That's why I come to this question. I'm stressing the blessing this morning. Are you a blessing in the home? Will your children someday look back and say, my dad, my mom, they were a real blessing. What a blessing they were. And children, it's the same. Are you a blessing in the home as well? You want to be a blessing. Could I say this? See, when it comes to company, young people, is the company you're keeping a blessing to you? Or could they become a curse? I don't know how many times I have to say it, and how many times I have to stress that company is everything. And young people, watch your company. Watch your company. Are they a blessing to you? Will you be a blessing to them? And God uses two illustrations in verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. He talks about the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the sea. Abraham was asked to give up one son, and he says, Abraham, you're going to have many, many sons. I know there's more to this, but I'm trying to simplify it for me and for you this morning, and try and get to something I believe God would have me share with thee. You see, we read in Romans 14, verse 7, none of us liveth unto himself, and we sometimes use that as a bad influence. We influence others. We can't help it. We don't live in an island. Your life affects other people. And of course, it can affect them negatively, or it can affect them positively. And I want you to be a blessing positively, a blessing in the church, a blessing in your marriage, a blessing to your parents, a blessing in school, work, play, whatever it happens to be. And as I look at Abraham and think of Isaac being blessed through Abraham, I want to see some features of Abraham that I want to share with you this morning. I want us to look at the heart of Abraham. If we're going to be a blessing, look at verse number 12, Genesis 22. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son for me. You see what God said of him? You fear God. Abraham was a man who feared God. Look into the heart of Abraham. You find a man who feared God. And of course, I'm talking about Abraham, but this is for all of us this morning. Are you a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman? Let me give you an indication. Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. Moses said, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words." God says they're going to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me. To fear me. If you're spending time in the Word of God, you will be someone who will fear God. A man or woman who fears God will not want to do anything that hurts God, that offends God, that brings shame to the name of the Lord. Are you a blessing this morning? You see, a man or woman who fears God or a young person will be someone who's into the Scriptures. There'll be someone who lives a sanctified life. Proverbs 8, verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And child of God this morning, are we living sanctified lives? Are we set apart? Are we living holy lives? I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm asking, are you striving to live a life that's pleasing to God? If you discover there's sin in your life, are you someone who can live with that or someone who has to get it sorted? A man or woman who fears God will be someone who's in this book, will be someone who wants to live a sanctified life, will be someone who wants to live a surrendered life. Didn't Abraham just give his all to the Lord? He laid the most precious thing in the world on the altar. This is the thing that's most precious to me. And Lord, I'm willing to surrender to you. Here's the sort of man, the sort of woman, the sort of young person who's going to be a blessing. A man or woman who fears God will have a courage that the world knows nothing about. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The man or woman who fears God will have genuine humility. Proverbs 22, verse 4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Are you someone who fears the Lord? When you look into the heart of Abraham, he's a man who feared God. When you look into the heart of Abraham, he's a man of whom the Lord was dear to him. Abraham loved the Lord. He loved the Lord so much, and we've said this already, he was willing to sacrifice his son for God. He was willing to give up the most precious thing. You know, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. God took the most precious, and I say this reverently, the most precious thing in heaven, and he gave it up for you and for me when Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's how much he loved us. This is how much Abraham loved the Lord. Are you a blessing this morning? Are you a blessing to your wife? Are you a blessing to your husband? Because you fear God, because the Lord is dear to you, because you're near the Lord. How do I know that Abraham was near the Lord? Verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of. How did he get to that place? How did he hear? Because God spoke to him. He was close enough to hear. Close enough to hear. There's a Christmas dinner recently for GMSA. We were at it because I'm on the council. And the table was pretty wide in places. And you couldn't hear the person at the other side that had to shout. And there was so much going on, it was difficult to hear. Sometimes that's what it's like with us and the Lord. There's so much going on, we can't hear what God has to say. And it's hard sometimes even to sit in a meeting and concentrate, because the old devil's trying to get into your mind and pull your thoughts to the farm, to the factory, to something that's going on at home. You're maybe thinking of Christmas and all that has to be done, and your mind's pulled everywhere, and you just can't concentrate. And you're so busy and so restless, he can't hear. Abraham wasn't like that. He could hear. When we look into the heart of Abraham, we see a man who feared the Lord, a man of whom the Lord was dear to, a man who was near to the Lord. No wonder Abraham was a blessing. Not only do we see the heart, but we see the handfuls. here this morning. And I was thinking of Ruth and Boaz, if you know the story. And Boaz is a wonderful type of Christ, and how Boaz left handfuls and purpose for Ruth. Ruth wouldn't have survived without the help of Boaz. And you and I are the same. We have to depend on Christ for everything. And again, when you see the name that Abraham gave God here, and this is a name given by Abraham, this is how Abraham must have felt. Look at verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And very often you'll see it's translated the Lord sees. I remember a Hebrew scholar at a conference I was at once saying, it means to see and meet the need. God sees the need and God meets the need. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. But if you look at verse number 9, it says that they came to the place. This is where our needs are met. When we are in the place that God has asked us to be in. Isn't that how Elijah discovered at the brook Cherith? God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there, nowhere else. There. If you're not in the right place, you're going to miss the blessing of the Lord. Again, when it came to the widow of Zarephath, 1 Kings 17, verse 9, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. If Elijah had went somewhere else, God wouldn't have met his need. Sometimes you ask people how you're doing, and they'll say, I'm in a bad place. I'm in a bad place. And I understand that, and my heart goes out to people who are in a bad place. I wonder this morning, and I said graciously, are you in a bad place because you're in the wrong place? You're in a place that God never took you to. Because in that place, God will meet your needs. And here's Abraham, and God is providing his need. What was the need here? It was the ram caught in the thicket. If he had gone to a different mountain, Isaac would have been slaughtered. Isaac would have been gone. But he went to the place that God told him, and there the Lord had provided the ram caught in the thicket. You see where he met the need. You can see when he met the need, just when he needed it. Just the moment he needed it. God met the need. You can see where, you can see when, and you can see how. In this case, it was the ram caught in the thicket. But you know, it was the ravens that were used to feed Elijah at the brook Cherith. It was a destitute widow again who fed Elijah in Zarephath. It was a fish that brought a coin to meet the need of Peter when they had to pay the temple tax. And God miraculously met the need when the need was there because they were in the right place. Are you in the right place, spiritually speaking? Because there the Lord is commanded to bless you and will bless you. And you will be a blessing to others. Are you a Christmas blessing this morning? Does your wife look upon you and say, what a blessing? Does your husband look at you and say, what a blessing? Do your children think of their parents as a blessing? They may not say it. But you know, as you look back, you can say, what a blessing. What a blessing. You know, the compound names of the Lord are a great study. We looked at that one there this morning, Jehovah Jireh. But you know, there reminds us that God is there to meet our needs. Do you have a sin problem this morning? One of the names of the Lord is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Do you have a stress problem this morning? Jehovah Shalom means he's our peace. Are you stressed this morning? Jehovah Shalom, he wants to be your peace. Do you have a solitary problem this morning? Do you feel lonely? And some of God's people know all about loneliness. There's some believing here this morning and they'll open their door and they'll shut their door and it's just them. That's all there. Some can have family around them and still feel lonely. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord's there. meets the need of loneliness. Are you sick this morning? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Are you straying this morning? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our shepherd. There's a shepherd who doesn't want you to stray. I was told very early in my ministerial career, if I can call it that, the job of the shepherd is to gather sheep. I'm never one to scatter sheep. I'll do my best to keep you together. I don't care what you do. I'll try and be there for you. And I'll try and help you. I'll try and encourage you. I'm not here to drive you away. But you know, God in a greater scale, he's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you're straying this morning, the shepherd wants to bring you back to the fold. Are you struggling this morning? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord sees and meets the need. I know in this assembly, and I'm careful to say this, but I know God touches the hearts of people who see the needs of other people's lives and meet that need. And I've seen it, and I know all about it. And some of you know nothing about it because it's confidential, but God knows all about it. And there's people who are just like their God. They can see the need and they want to meet the need. I encourage you this morning, if you know somebody's in need coming up to this season of the year and God has blessed you, you meet that need if you can. Here's someone who'll be a blessing. Look at their heart. Look at the handfuls they're depending on God. Look at their hope. Look at verse 15, Genesis 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand upon which is the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. Here's a reminder of the promises God had already given to Abraham in chapter 12, in chapter 13, in chapter 15, in chapter 17. God has given these promises over and over again. Now, he's not given them to Abraham because God had forgotten them, but he knows what we're like. We could take a promise from God and we're only out through the door and we forget it. And God will come back again and again and again. And here's God coming to Abraham, and he's given him this promise. He's given him this reassurance. Are you filled with doubt this morning? Are you like Thomas this morning? You're a doubter. And the beautiful thing about Thomas is the Lord didn't want to leave him in doubting corner. The Lord made a beeline for Thomas, and he made sure that the doubt was removed. I've told the story before about the Golden Gate Bridge that connects Northern California to San Francisco. I have never seen it, but I've seen photographs of it. When they were building it, there was no safety net. And the first time they started stage one, something like 22 men fell to their death. And then the second stage, they put a net underneath. And 10 men had their lives saved. But you know what happened? The work productivity increased because men had the assurance. They had the assurance that they were safe. As a child of God, if you lack that assurance of salvation, you're not going to be a worker for Christ. How can you encourage someone to trust the Lord when you doubt him yourself? But Abraham was trusting the Lord. His hope was in the Lord, and it gave him that deep assurance in his heart, and he would be a blessing not only to Isaac but to multitude others. Know something else, and I want to do this quickly because I've promised to get the meetings over in time, because I want to leave it. You can get home, get ready, and make the drive in church. Look at verse 18. He was a herald for God. And then thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obedience always brings blessing. But here's the story. Abraham, through Abraham and through Isaac and through their seed and their seed and their seed would come Christ. Christ would come through them. And here's a very simple thought this morning. Abraham was used in bringing Christ to the world. Abraham was used in bringing Christ to others. Who have you ever brought to Christ? Who have you ever brought to Christ? Who recently Have you told about the Lord Jesus Christ? I was talking to a pastor yesterday at the funeral, and he was saying, tomorrow I'm going to preach on this. Like, when was the last time you invited somebody to the drive-in church, to a gospel meeting? Even share your faith with them. And Abraham was a blessing because he cared about others. He wasn't just content himself, and he was used as a channel to bring Christ to others. Have you ever brought Christ to anyone? Have your brother brought anyone to Christ? And as Stephen has said this morning, you don't have to be in the pulpit to do these things. And maybe like the little maid, Naaman, you're just a little link, and you'll plant a seed somewhere, and you may not even know, but have you shut your mouth so far now that you never speak a word for Christ? Never speak a word for Christ. Look into the heart of Abraham. You see the heart of Abraham. You see the handfuls. He was depending on the Lord. You see the hope. He was resting on the promises of God. He was a herald. He was used to bring Christ to others. I'm stressing the blessing this morning. Abraham would also know the help of the Lord. Look at the end of verse 17. We're nearly finished. Thy seed shall possess the gates of thine enemies. You are going to know victory. You're going to know power. You're going to be an overcomer because thou hast done this thing. Through obedience, he would know the power of God in his life. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Abraham was looking to the Lord for power. He would know the help of the Lord. And I want to suggest to you, he was a blessing. When we look into his heart, when we see the handfuls, when we see the hope, when we see he was a herald, when we see the help he would experience from the Lord, he was a blessing. Do you remember what was said of Joseph? And Genesis 49, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast, blessings of the womb, blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings, and so on, blessing, blessing, blessing. And then it says, Joseph, you're going to be like a branch that goes over a wall. These blessings are not just to be held by you. These blessings will bless other people. And Joseph, like Abraham, was going to be a blessing. I read this morning. You see, we're living in the last days, and it says in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. It stops with me. I'm only interested in me. This is the generation. It's called the me generation. Self-obsessed, self-absorbed, self-centered. It's all centered around me. That's what children are encouraged to do when they fill in their CV. It's all about me. Me, me. And then sometimes this comes into the church. It's all about me. We're self-absorbed. We're self-centered. We're self-obsessed. We have to see the bigger picture. Individualism. Others don't matter. Secularism. God doesn't matter. Narcissism. I'm the only one that matters. That's how some go through life. But we don't want to be like that. We want to be a blessing to others. We want to be the best husband I can be for Marcella. I want to be the best father I can be. I want my children to look back someday and say, he was a blessing. Not a curse, a blessing. I hope every church I've ever ministered in, they'll say he was a blessing here. I want to be a blessing. Don't want to be a curse. Is your heart right? You see, if your heart's right, then you'll think about others and you'll have a heart for others. You see, when we depend on God for the handfuls, we realize that we are nothing and he is everything. You see, when we're hoping in the Lord, we realize that it's his promise and not our power. You see, if we're heralds for the Lord, we realize we're just messenger boys. That's all we are. You see, if it's the help we want from the Lord, we realize how helpless and hopeless we really are. Let me summarize it. When you have a right view of self, then you'll think about other people. Paul says, and I paraphrase it, I know it's not the exact scriptural words, it's no longer I. In fact, he says, I am crucified with Christ. You see, individualism, narcissism, secularism. That was crucified with Christ. That's gone. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I. It's no longer Ian Wilson. It's no longer about me. But it's Christ that liveth in me. Tell me, is Christ living in you this morning? Is that the kind of husband, the kind of wife you are, the kind of mom, the kind of dad, the kind of child you are? Are you a blessing in the home? Are you a blessing in the church? Are you a blessing wherever God places you? Are you in a bad place this morning? Maybe you've been in the wrong place. Maybe you are in the wrong place. And God is just a word for you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just take the word of God this morning and, Lord, bring it home to hearts. Lord, I've struggled this morning with this message. Lord, I wondered, had God anything to say or was it all of me? But Lord, I want to thank you for the help you've given me. And I trust, Lord, even the message will be a blessing to the people of God. Lord, as we think of Christmas blessings, help us to be a blessing, not only at Christmas, but as we look forward to 2022. Bless thy word to our hearts, for it's in our Savior's name we pray. Amen.